It's Sunday. You know what that means. Recording from the cozy casual Mantua studio in Philadelphia, PA. It's the Gaze Into the Blue Light podcast. I'm your host, Steve.
I'm Nikki.
And every week we discuss new and notable books, movies, and TV shows, and video games, comic books, etc., etc. Anything we find that's putting off that comforting blue light that's supposedly bad for you on those screens and digital devices, and then some other things too. Whatever we have been entertaining ourselves with lately.
Yep, exactly. Entertaining ourselves.
That's exactly what we're doing. This week got a great episode. I'm very much looking forward to it. I want to start off by giving a shout out to our amazing supporters that have been supporting the show since November.
November?
It's April now. November 2020.
Wow.
We've had some core key supporters. Hmm. And I just wanted to give you an update to let you know that we used your support money to upgrade our microphone.
Yeah, we have an actual microphone.
There's an actual microphone. I'm currently working on hooking up the second new microphone, but have run into some technological challenges.
Yes.
But, so thank you to our supporters. And we used your support to upgrade our setup here. So that's very exciting. So thank you to you. You know who you are.
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for all the support, financial and otherwise.
Emotional,
mental health support. Much appreciated. Good episode today.
Mm-hmm.
Good episode.
Real good.
So
real good episode.
Better than all the rest.
You're simply the best.
This episode is
better than all the rest.
Ooh, that's soulful.
Better than anyone.
Okay.
All right, that's enough.
That is enough.
The microphone's just got me feeling, you know, kind
of. Yeah, just because there's a microphone in front of you doesn't mean you need to sing
it. Oh, it does. And I will.
It can be tempting. Mm-hmm. Great episode today. I want to share a great comic book that I just read. Technically, it's a trade paperback.
Oh,
because it's a collection of 12 issues.
Oh.
I'm very excited to talk about The Sheriff of Babylon by one of my, if you've been following along with previous episodes, you know that I'm starting to get into comics, and Tom King has been one of my favorite writers recently.
Hmm.
And I really enjoyed some of his other things, and when he teams up with the artist, Mitch Gerads, I really like what they come up with. So I'm excited to share about Sheriff of Babylon. We're also going to talk about The Flight Attendant.
Yeah.
Which is streaming right now.
Right on this minute.
HBO Max, starring Kaylee Cuoco.
Cuoco. That's an interesting name.
Yeah, I thought it was Kelly. I thought it was Kelly, but it's not. It's Kaylee. I looked it up on the internet.
Kaylee.
And so we've been enjoying watching that show. We just watched the most recent episode.
Yeah, we just finished it.
And we're also going to get, in place of the articles this week, we're going to get updates instead of articles. So sorry to those
of
you.
Let me update you. Is that another thing I can sing? Go ahead.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's like the theme song.
Yeah.
Updates. We're going to get updates on your Yelp Top 10 Restaurant Challenge.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to do an update because a few episodes ago we discussed and reviewed a great baking cookbook.
Yes.
And we made another recipe and it was
this
delicious.
Time we used actual cooking equipment.
Yes, so we're excited to talk about that too. Can't wait. Let's get to it. Okay, so let's start with these updates.
Okay.
The world
updates
has been anxiously awaiting updates on what you introduced last week.
Sure, yeah.
Which is a challenge of your own making.
It's a challenge of my own making, which I think is going to be a little tricky when I get... So, to update, I decided that I wanted to do eat at the top 10 restaurants in Philadelphia, top 10 rated on Yelp, the app that you may be familiar with.
It's an app that's found on your screens and digital devices.
It's an app that is used just not just for restaurants. I mean, I think people rate all kinds of things. They rate like stores, car wash it. Like they rate all kinds of things, right? Like I think you can... Let me just do a quick search. Oh, yeah, you can do cleaners, movers, accountants, plumbers, auto repairs. So, like, you can search for and rate, like, anything. I only use it for restaurants because that's all I care about finding. But, so I decided I was going to, I don't even know why this came to be, but I was like, let's eat at the best restaurants in Philadelphia, top 10. The reason I think it's going to be difficult is because, as you pointed out last time, like I think the reviews, the places in the top 10 can change based on, like, say a restaurant gets like 10 new reviews, then it might get, it could get bumped down like in a week's time. So I have noticed in checking back that some of when you get down further to like 7, 8, 9, 10, they've changed. Since I first started looking at this, the top ones haven't changed. They've been the same. So I might have to do just like top five. And then I think I told you that Philly Mag that I look at online has a very different top 10 than what Yelp does. So that's an interesting comparison.
So I think here's my theory.
What's your theory about that?
That the Yelp top 10 is... not necessarily, what am I trying to say? Like a Ruby Tuesday could get on the top 10.
Yeah.
Because it gets a lot of reviews because a lot of people are going there. Whereas another smaller restaurant that's maybe higher quality food gets maybe a quarter of the people that you could fit into a Ruby Tuesday. So therefore... it gets less reviews.
I see. I would disagree with you for Philly that that would happen because Philly is like a food city and there are a lot of foodies here. So you're not ever going to see a Ruby Tuesdays in maybe some other places. You would see a Ruby Tuesdays in the top 10. You're never going to see that here. These are all like really good restaurants.
Okay.
Like you're not going to see Red Lobster or Olive Garden on here. Like, these are legitimate, like, good restaurants.
Let me volunteer something else.
What?
Would you say that people that are going to very highly rated, renowned restaurants are less likely to leave a review because the general consensus is, yes, this is a good place, and there really is no need to, like, get on and write a review about it on Yelp?
No, I don't think so, because I think these are all, like, people have written reviews for these places, and these places are, like, some of these places do match up with the Philly Mag top 10, Philly Magazine top 10,
okay.
And some of them don't, but these are all, like, I would say, well-renowned restaurants in Philadelphia. Like, I don't, I mean...
I'm just trying to poke holes in your...
No, and I appreciate that. No, I mean I think it's good to think about that. But yeah, I don't you're not gonna see like Ruby Tuesdays on here. Like, you're just not.
Okay.
I don't know. They don't have a ton of ratings though. So like for example, the number one that we talked about and then we went to Barbuzo, it only has 2,800 reviews.
I mean, that's nothing to shake a stick at.
Dandelion has 2,400. Number three, Tallulah's Garden has 1,800. So
Well, the top two are still the same.
the top two are still, actually, I think the top four, five, six are still the same. From seven down is where it gets different. But anywho, so yeah, we went to today for brunch. The dandelion.
That's how you say
The dandelion. And it was a gorgeous day for brunching. There were just so many people out brunching. It was a beautiful sunny day. The city was alive. The flowers were blooming. It was just a gorgeous, gorgeous day
it. If
to be in the
any
city.
day was for brunching, today was
Today
for
was for
brunching.
brunching. So the Dandelion is a British gastropub. Some of the most popular dishes on Yelp are fish and chips, deviled eggs, rabbit pie, lamb shepherd's pie, sticky toffee. And so we had fish and chips and the English breakfast. And mimosas, rose mimosas.
Rose mimosas. Yeah, they were
With
really
rose water.
tasty.
They were so good, so tasty. I thought the food was really good. I thought that the restaurant overall was just gorgeous. It was so big. It was three stories. And plus they had outdoor seating. It was amazing. It looked like, I don't know, I've never been to England, but I just imagine it looks like your family's house in England, like a very nice older home, beautifully decorated. It just felt like you were in someone's house.
It
It
did.
was very cool, like an old Victorian kind of
It
house.
was not your standard restaurant.
No, it wasn't. It was so interesting. I didn't expect it to look like that inside. It was amazing though. The decorations were really nice. It's a Stephen Starr restaurant, so he really The Stephen Starr Group, I think, really does a good job of creating like an authentic ambiance. Interesting looking. They really go in above and beyond, I think, to give you like an experience.
And great artwork on the walls, too.
Great artwork. The table we sat at was super cute. They were doing a really good job with social distancing. The service was excellent. I would say, and we were talking about this, and you can weigh in here, but so we were like comparing this to the experience and the food that we had at Barbuzo. And I would say for me, Barbuzo was definitely a better food experience. I would say this was a better service and ambiance experience. But I would say Barbuzo's food was better. Like, this was gastropub food. It was fish and chips. I mean, it was good fish and chips. Was it the best fish and chips I ever had? Probably not. I can't think of any better at this moment. But I mean, I don't know. It was fish and chips.
Right.
Good though.
Very
And
good fish and chips. It was
very
like
good fish and chips.
biting into a donut.
Yeah, I mean
It
that
was
breading was like, whew,
really good.
really good. Nice plating, nice presentation. That was my first time having an English breakfast, so that was kind of fun. Not the healthiest of brunches.
No. Well, that's kind of with the gastropub fare. You
Yeah.
know, they had like good, interesting English beers on
They
tap.
had a lot of English beers on tap. I was surprised that you didn't get an English beer.
Yeah, I wanted to. And then that rose mimosa
I
though was just
know.
so tasty that I just stuck with those.
Yeah.
I do agree that when in comparing Barbuzo to the dandelion, the food at Barbuzo was far superior.
Yeah.
But the general setting, ambiance, place to sit and hang out and have a nice meal was better at the dandelion.
Yeah, dandelion was more like welcoming and cozy and inviting.
So if you're going to go somewhere to have a nice time and you don't really care about high quality food, I would say dandelion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going somewhere and
it was still high quality, just not like
true.
It wasn't
very good gastropub.
Very food. Good gastropub food, but yeah, I think Barbuzo, the food is just like, it's like closer to like fine dining. Like it's elevated, it's really fresh, it's like plated really well, like they use really fresh quality ingredients, it has like healthier options, like it feels lighter and yeah, like I felt really heavy and tired when we left Dandelion. I was like, okay, time for a nap.
I still feel heavy and tired.
I still feel heavy and tired too. Yeah, but overall very good. I would say out of the two, Barbuzo rightfully at the number one spot.
Still holds its place.
I mean, it's just kind of depends on what you're looking for.
Okay.
You know, I would say Barbuzo is more for like a date night, like a fancy dinner. Whereas Dandelion, I think the purpose of like a Friday night out at the pub or a brunch is like, you know, perfect. It's ideal for that.
It doesn't really have the pub feel though.
No.
Although there were so many rooms that maybe there were other rooms that were more pubbish.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't really have a pub feel. It definitely feels like a nicer. That's a good point. It there feels nicer than a pub.
There were other rooms downstairs that we didn't see, so I don't know that we.
It was huge. Fully. Like I couldn't even believe like how big that restaurant was.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
So next week, what's on? What's the...
Oh, number three is Tallulah's Garden, which I actually heard really, really, really good things about when we were when we lived here before. People would always talk about it, and we never went to it.
Okay.
So, potentially, we could go there next week.
Okay.
It's another Stephen Starr restaurant. I know.
That's Stephen Starr. He sure can cook.
Oh, he can make a restaurant, huh?
Oh, boy.
He sure can cook at all those restaurants. I just imagine Stephen Starr running around town. Like he just like has a driver and he's like, okay, gotta go to Tallulah's Garden. And he's cooking there and then he's running over to
that guy knows
Dandelion.
He knows how to flip a burger.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's my voice.
That's the voice of Stephen Starr.
Hey.
Hi, Stephen Starr here.
I know how to flip a burger.
Okay.
So that's a great update on your Yelp Top 10 Restaurant Challenge. And we encourage
challenge.
You, if you're not in Philadelphia, that's okay. Why don't you do your own city's Yelp Top 10 Challenge and go to the top 10 rated restaurants in your city?
Yes.
And we'd love to hear about it.
Yes, we That'd would love to hear about it.
So fun. If you decide to do it, we're on Twitter at GIBL Podcast. You can let me know how your Yelp restaurant challenge is going, what city you're doing it in. Or if Twitter's not your thing, we also have email.
Yeah.
The old correo electronico, as they say in Espanol.
Oh.
It is, what's our email address? Your host, Steve,
I don't know.
at gmail.com. I forget because I don't check it because we don't get emails.
Oh, guys, just email us with your top Yelp restaurants.
YOURHOSTSTEVE at gmail.com.
No one emails us because Scrappy is just ruining the podcast by digging and making sounds in the background.
No, he's not. Okay, that was our Yelp update.
Yeah.
What else? What was our other update?
Oh, we were going to update on the cake that we made.
The cake. How could
I
forget?
Yeah. Update or remind everyone of the book that it was from.
Let's remind everyone of the book. How about that?
Yes, because the cookbook is really the best, and we got it
I just had a great
a couple
idea.
Months ago.
I just had a great idea.
What?
I should remind everyone about the book.
Remind everyone about the book.
I have such great ideas. It's called Just Desserts. It's from Running Press, and it's by Charlotte Ree. You can find her on Instagram. I believe she has a very active Instagram.
Yeah.
Charlotte Ree, and it's a great cookbook that we reviewed a few episodes ago, and we tried to, well, we did make some cookies. And the Nutella thumbprints. They turned out really tasty.
Yes.
But we did not have the required baking equipment.
No, we used a blender instead of a stand mixer.
And I believe we kind of MacGyvered a couple other things. But we have since then procured some proper baking equipment.
Proper.
One of those things being a stand mixer. Thanks, Mom.
And a springform pan. And a sifter.
We have acquired some baking tools.
We need a scale.
A scale is probably next. We took another stab at the cookbook, and we picked a really delicious cake recipe.
Oh, my God. It's a chocolate buttermilk cake. Oh, so.
I will say this as a review of the recipe. It was stupid easy.
Oh, it was so easy to follow.
I had no trouble.
No, it was super, super easy.
So easy that by the time it was over, I was like, well, that's...
I can't believe I just did this.
Like, that's what it takes to make a cake?
Right. Why have I never made... Why have I bought box cake mix?
What's wrong with me?
Why have I bought, like, a box cake?
Like, we just kind of, like, messed around and made a cake.
Yeah. It was so easy.
Yeah. And the ingredients were, like, buttermilk and vanilla. Nothing crazy.
Yeah, nothing crazy. I mean, and things that you could... Like, you could... Aside from the buttermilk, everything else you really probably could have at your house.
Yeah.
The best part was that her suggestion was that you top it with chocolate covered pretzels, which we did, and it looked super cute. Now, what I would do next time, because I feel like it was, the pretzels were more of just for like aesthetic purposes, and you had to kind of like eat them separately. I would suggest still doing the ring of pretzels around the outside, but then putting a bunch of chocolate-covered pretzels in a food processor and sprinkling the little crumbles in the inside of the ring so that then when you take a bite of cake, you get tiny bits of the pretzel. Because I think her idea was good in that you want that like saltiness to kind of balance out the sweetness. And then the crunch also is something extra. So that's what I would do next time.
That sounds really good.
That's my pro tip.
Yeah, the frosting was amazing.
Oh, it's like a ganache.
Very cream cheese,
oh.
Chocolate. Yep. So it kind of had a little bit of a tang to it.
Beautiful.
And the buttermilk.
Beautiful cake.
Kind of gave the chocolate cake a really interesting depth of flavor.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm excited to make it again, actually.
I would make it again. I wouldn't put it in the fridge that like I did last night. I would get a cake stand with the glass topper and leave it sit out because I felt like I didn't like it today when it had sat in the fridge. It was better when it was just cooled.
Yeah, it was room drier. Temp. The cake part, what do they call the cake part? Have a name for it?
It's just cake.
The cake.
Sponge.
The sponge.
That's what they call it on the Great British Baking Show. The sponge.
Sponge. You know, they call it bake-off over across the pond.
Ah.
The sponge was like a little lighter and airier. And then after it sat in the fridge, it was more dense.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't make for a bad cake.
No, I just shouldn't have refrigerated it, but... It's fine. Next time, won't.
It's okay. So if you're interested in doing a little baking. Now that this is a good segue to say that we did peruse through the book for a beginner type recipe where we didn't need a lot of specialty ingredients or tools, and of which there are a number of, but there are also like more advanced ones.
There are like, and where you need like special pans, like a mini bundt pans or Madeleine pans or like other different pans. So I wanted something where I could just get all the ingredients at my local grocery store, including the springform pan.
Yeah.
So
it's so the book Just Desserts, it does have you know, the essential things like this chocolate cake, chocolate brownies, shortbread, you know, your standard chocolate chip cookies, but then all the way to the, you know, the the showstopper type things. Layered berry pavlova.
Oh my god.
Chocolate ganache, blackberry bundt. So we got a whole gamut here. I'm excited to work our way through as we get more experience. Me too.
It's so fun.
Yeah, so you should check out that book. And I'll put the link in the show's description if that sounds like something you or someone you know would enjoy.
Mother's Day is coming up, so you could potentially buy this book for your mother or your partner as a gift.
Yeah, whoever loves that. Got that sweet tooth. And make the chocolate buttermilk cake because it was delicious. Okay, those are our updates.
Yep.
How exciting. We are making our way in this world.
We're doing stuff.
We are doing stuff.
AKA eating.
That's true. Both updates were gastronomic in nature.
This is what we do. We eat.
All right. Well, that's our update section. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back to talk about the Sheriff of Babylon and the flight attendant.
We'll be back.
We shall return. Don't worry. We are back. Ready for the main event. We brought two things to the table today.
Mm-hmm.
We followed the rules.
Oh, good job.
Isn't that cute? So the first thing I want to talk about is, as I said, this is a term that I have recently learned, a trade paperback.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
So it's a collection of issues of a comic book that was released issue by issue. And then, you know, they get put together.
Okay.
And then you can buy them all in one.
Interesting.
So that's what I did with this book. So a little update on that. If you are a Philadelphia resident or nearby, highly recommend going to Johnny Destructo's Hero Complex, which is a comic book shop in Maniunk neighborhood of Philadelphia. And is it a neighborhood or is it its own place? Like, do you live in Maniunk, PA? Or do you live in Philly?
I'm going to look it up while you go on. I'm not quite sure. Philly's so complex in that way because even, like, where we live, I feel like technically we could live in, like, a bunch of different places. We could live in – we're, like, right on the verge of Fairmount. We're in University City. We're in Mantua. We're also in West Philly. I don't know.
Those are neighborhoods, yeah.
Yeah, I think Maniunk's a neighborhood. All right. I'll look into this.
Yanny Hiawza. I started to go to that shop and chat comics with the owner, JD. He's a very nice, helpful person. For me, a total noobster. And last time I was there, he recommended Mr. Miracle by Tom King and Mitch Gerads, and I read it and very much enjoyed it. The story was weird, but I still enjoyed it, but what I loved the most was the artwork and the writing. So I went back on my monthly visit to JD and I said, gosh, I sure did like Mr. Miracle. Do you have anything similar to that? And he said, why don't you follow me this way, sir? I don't know if those were his
good
words.
Good sir.
He may have said good sir.
Yeah.
And Tom King and Mitch Garrett also worked on another project called The Sheriff of Babylon. And so I purchased it and I was not disappointed. This was fantastic. So good. I think I liked it better than Mr. Miracle. And it's sending me in an interesting comics direction because this is not a superhero book.
Oh,
there's
okay.
No costumes, there's no capes, there's no superpowers. And I think that maybe as I start to explore comics a little bit more, this is the kind of direction I might head. Because I do like superheroes. I got nothing wrong, nothing against that, but I really enjoyed this story. And this is not Blue Light, although you can probably read it on your Kindle or whatever, but
comic book feels like something you want to hold in your hand.
Yeah, this was good. I've read comics on the Kindle and it's fine, but it's not really quite as pleasurable of an experience.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Especially maybe if you're just like catching up on random things and you don't really care and you just want to figure out what's going on. But for something with this amount of quality,
yeah,
this should be read
person, oh, yeah,
in your hands, whatever. So I want to talk about a few things. First, an overall, just a quick rundown. It's a 12-issue comic book series, first published by Vertigo Comics in 2015, written by Tom King, illustrated Mitch Garrett's. This book that I have here has DC Black Label written on it, and DC Black Label is something that I don't know what that is, but in my research, maybe I will uncover that. The plot is pretty straightforward. It follows a character named Chris Henry. He's a former San Diego police officer turned military consultant. And so he works in Iraq after the, what would you call it, initial attacks there post 9/11.
Oh, okay.
And he's working with training Iraqi police force. And one of his recruits that's on the police force being trained gets murdered. And so he starts kind of his own investigation into just what the heck happened. In doing so, he enlists a cast of some curious characters in Iraq, Iraqis, and violence ensues. And it's very dramatic, and it's a bit of a, I guess you call it a murder mystery. Not really a mystery, but you know, they're kind of out to find who did this.
Okay.
Who done it. It is another, it shatters another stereotype, which is that comics are for kids. Because I would not recommend this for younger viewers.
Oh, okay. It's violent.
It's definitely
adult content.
There's some nudity and there's there's some violence and
adult themes.
Adult themes, yes. But
are comic books have a rating then? Like, do they have a rating?
That's a good question. I think for a while they did have ratings.
Yeah, like M for mature, like video games.
Now that's a good. That's another good question about ratings
ask
for comic books.
The guy.
I'll ask JD when I go in for my monthly.
The dude.
Monthly purchase from the dude. This one that I don't see any rating on, but So that's a...
I guess books don't, though. Sorry to interrupt. Like, books don't have a rating. And there are definitely, like... Well, books are sectioned, though. Like, YA or, like, children's. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, like, romance novels. Like, kids wouldn't read those, but they usually have sex. I don't know. So, I guess they're sort of, like, categorized?
Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. I don't envision any time when a kid would bring a book to the counter at Barnes & Noble and the person would be like, I'm sorry, you're not 18.
Oh, you can't get this. Nice try, kid.
Nice try, kid.
Nice try.
I don't buy that fake ID for a minute.
Oh,
that would
my
be
God.
Something I would do, which is like get a fake ID so that I could buy, I don't know,
a comic?
Jurassic Park or something. Anyhow, I use that as an example because that was the first full length, like big adult person novel that I read when I was a kid.
Jurassic Park?
Yeah. I was, when that came out, I was maybe 14.
Was there, I mean, it's 12, not 13? Like. What was in it that was adult theme?
Well, nothing. I'm just saying that wasn't a kid's book. Like, Jurassic Park is not for kids. It's it wasn't an adult book.
Adult themes. It dinosaurs. Was like
a paperback made.
Making love.
Not made for kids. Anyway, whatever. You're distracting me.
Get back to it.
Let me just talk about a couple things that I really liked about Sheriff of Babylon. First and foremost, the story is original. Mm-hmm. I really like that it's set in Iraq and that many of the characters are Iraqis. I like there's that focus on that. And there's some strong female characters in it that I really appreciate. And I love the focus on the police force in Iraq. I just think that and like post Saddam Hussein. So this is post Saddam Hussein and like I just love the story. It's very original and the character Chris Henry is a complicated dude and finds his position in Iraq training police recruits to be absurd and from all that we've heard, of course, that was just a big screw up from the beginning. But anyway, I'm not here to critique military things. The second and biggest thing is that I just love how the pages are laid out. Just like in Mr. Miracle, I think this is a Tom King, Mitch Garrett's kind of feature. You know that you're looking at one of their books when they really stick to the 2x3 panels or the 3x3 panels. And so their pages are really neat and organized and there aren't like crazy designs or some people can do it really well and it really conveys the image in a good way, but a feature of these books is these really neat lined up panels, often in the 3x3 format. So you get 9 panels per page. So I really like that setup. It's easy to read and easy to process for me. Your eyes aren't bouncing all around the page. The artwork by Mitch Gerrits is just beautiful to me.
Yeah, it's amazing looking. Wow.
It's really realistic. His figures are like just so good. The characters are so well drawn. They have such emotion in their faces.
They really do.
The action scenes are really great. These, I think they're called splash pages. I'm not sure where it's just all one big illustration are just so engaging. That's nice big thick black lines and the scenes are just conveyed in a really dramatic way. The lighting, I mean the scenery of post Saddam Hussein Baghdad is just arresting. I mean it's really cool to see like this Saddam's old pool house and whatever.
Wow.
The way like I really like this, the a woman is on the phone having a conversation and it's 2 pages back, just side by side, 3x3 panels. So it's like 18 of just her on the phone. And
Yeah.
like the subtle distinctions between her face and her head
Yeah.
movement, like you can follow her emotions as she's talking on the phone. Like if someone was like, all right, illustrate this phone conversation of this woman having a, like,
Huh.
it just works.
It's so
It's
cool.
really cool because that's very much focused on the dialogue and on the
Yeah.
story, and they don't get all wrapped up in having like big crazy wham bang action things. It
Yeah.
still conveys a really
Huh.
dramatic story.
So now that you have your own room in the house, are you going to collect comic books and put them in there? Or is that an interest that you have?
That is an interest that I have. I would
Like
like
your bedroom.
to build my collection up. And I think the cool thing is that like I've started to find some writers and illustrators that I
Yeah, that
enjoy.
you like, and then you'll just keep on with their buying theirs in particular.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to start.
Yeah.
And I really like stuff by Tom King so far and stuff by Mitch Garrett so far. So if you're looking to buy any comics or that's an avenue you'd like to check out, I highly recommend stuff by them and the Sheriff of Babylon at your local comic book seller.
That's awesome.
That's what I brought to the table.
All right, well, I will bring you an update about Manayunk.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Okay, so Manayunk is a neighborhood in Philadelphia. I want to read you the description of Manayunk because I think it's cool. So, Manayunk is, I don't know exactly what direction. So it's near East Falls.
It's kind of north of here.
Yeah, I think it's north of here. So, trendy, they say trendy Manayunk hugs the Schuylkill River banks. It has a small town vibe with row houses, lofts, and Victorian homes occupied by young families and longtime residents. Along its hilly streets, the steep incline of quote unquote the Manayunk Wall punishes riders in an annual bike race. Galleries and boutiques line Main Street, while its trendy eateries and boisterous bars evoke the area's name, quote unquote, the place to drink. Interesting.
I did not know that.
Very cool.
Here I've been drinking elsewhere.
I wonder how many neighborhoods are there in Philadelphia? I'm gonna look this up. I think this is interesting for our listeners. How many
Yes, they are wrapped.
neighborhoods are in Philadelphia?
That's a tough thing because I don't.
All right, this says 55.
I'm sure that's up for debate among longtime Philadelphians.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Philadelphia has 41 zip codes. So I guess one could argue, well, then that would be the neighborhoods, but the city's divided into 12 planning analysis sections, which are Center City, South, I'm not going to read all of them, but Center City, South Philly, West, North. So then within the neighborhoods, there are,
Sub neighborhoods.
yeah, sub neighborhoods. So yeah, I'm sure it's up for debate. 41 zip codes. This says 55 plus neighborhoods. So interesting to research.
I'm interested.
I'm interested. I'll do some more research into neighborhoods.
I say that you are bringing the flight attendant to the table because you're the one that told me about it.
Yeah, okay. I will bring the flight attendant. I'm bringing it.
You bring it,
Bringing
girl.
it. All right. Let me look up a little information here for you.
While you look that up, I have a brief
The
synopsis.
flight.
It is a comedy drama streaming
drama.
On HBO Max.
Uh-huh.
It's based on a 2018 novel of the
same
name.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay.
Oh. I'm intrigued. main star, of course, is Kaley Cuoco.
Cuoco.
You may remember her from The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, we never watched that.
No, we never did.
Never got into it.
And we won't.
Yeah, and we won't. So there's that.
It premiered on HBO Max November 26th,
2020.
Okay. It was renewed for a second season.
Ooh, well, I mean, we kind of guessed that it would be just based on, not to give any spoilers, but based on the ending. They left some cliffhangers.
Did see that there was going to be. Kaley Cuoco stars as Cassie Bowden.
Yep.
She is an American flight attendant who is a reckless alcoholic.
Yeah.
Who drinks during flights, spends her time off with strangers, and gets herself into some ridiculous scenarios with her reckless partying lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
And as the show begins, she finds herself entangled, literally and physically, with one of her passengers on a flight.
Mm-hmm.
And
can we say what happens?
Sure.
I don't think we'll give too much away,
right?
It's in
the first episode.
It's in the first episode. So she... it was a little reminiscent for me of The Night Of.
Mm-hmm.
So she wakes up in the morning to find that the man, the passenger that she had just spent the night partying with, gallivanting around Bangkok, just having an absolute blast, is dead.
D-E-D, dead.
Dead. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And
no
so she, of course, is like panicked and, you know, doesn't know what to do. She makes some bad decisions. And then she kind of, you know, just leaves the scene and goes on and continues the rest of her flight routes. And so the series is kind of what unfolds after that in terms of, you know, is she a suspect? And her kind of grappling, I would say it has, it grapples with, like, from a therapist perspective, like a lot of symptoms of PTSD, like just with her having these like really intense like flashbacks and like intrusive memories, like disassociating, things like that. So, I would say it grapples definitely with that. And then it also like triggers for, so that it was really interesting for me because I consider it, I would consider the show very psychologically based just in terms of that, like of her like addiction and PTSD and like mental health and like, you know, this event triggers, I think, past trauma for her. So then those memories come in a very intrusive way.
Probably also throw in some obsessive behaviors or manic behaviors, right? Because like she experienced this trauma and the way that she is coping with it, well, she's coping with it in a few ways, drinking a lot of alcohol is one way, but the other way is kind of like getting obsessed with solving it, so much so that she gets herself like even in like more trouble,
yeah,
but also stumbles upon, you know, evidence and learns things about people, and she's like, some of that, so when you get to some the end of some of the episodes, it's almost like you're out of breath.
I know, I felt like that. I did feel like kind of I needed to, like, we would just watch an episode of Seinfeld afterward because it really, it takes you on a proverbial ride. Like, the episodes are super intense. I mean, like, and I think if you are a person who like has struggled with, or maybe knows someone who's struggled with, like, PTSD or, like, addiction issues, I could see where it would be really intense, just some of that, those, like, scenes of, like, you know, the memories, really intense memories and trauma. So, you know, I would say it's probably not a show for everyone. I think for a while we were a little bit worried that they were, like, glamorizing her addiction and alcoholism. And I think they were, because it just, she's just this, you know, like, gorgeous, you know, seemingly fine person. She's a very, like, I guess you would say, functioning alcoholic. I don't know what the term is they use. Is that the term they use? Functioning? There's a term they use. But, you know, she's a flight attendant. Like, she's, you know, she seems like she has everything together when she's at work, I would say, probably to the passengers, maybe not necessarily to some of her crew who know that she's kind of drinking behind the scenes. But I think we were waiting for her to kind of, like, hit bottom in the show. And, like, yeah, when are they going to stop glamorizing this? And when is... are they going to show the ugly sides of, you know, being an alcoholic? Mm-hmm. And they do get to that. So it does kind of, like, come around, and she does, you know, kind of hit a bottom and get herself into some serious trouble.
That's why I'm excited that there's going to be a second season.
Because yeah,
maybe they will start to address those, the not fun side of drinking. But, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, like, they started to a little yeah. bit. Yeah. But I thought it was a great show. I really liked it. So for me, I, of course, like the psychological elements of it, just because I've always been interested in that. And I really liked the, like, travel aspects of it. There are some cool, like, you know, travel scenes. She's a flight attendant. So, you know, some of the shots are kind of cool, just of, like, the different cities that they go to. I think what I was the most surprised about was she's an incredible actress. And I'll be the first one to admit that I kind of thought she was just kind of, I don't know how to say this in a way that's not offensive, but just, I from seeing clips of her on Big Bang, and I think maybe now in retrospect, she's just playing that character really well of, like, the quote unquote, like, dumb blonde, right? Of just like, oh, hey, you know, like, she, you know, kind of vapid, not very intelligent, just pretty, like, you know, just yeah. well, the pretty didn't... girl. We didn't watch it, but that was my takeaway from just seeing clips of it. But she is an incredible actress. And so I eat my own words.
You eat crow.
I eat crow because she is phenomenal in this. And she really, yeah, I completely changed my mind about her as an actress.
Did we use eat crow correctly? Eat crow.
Colloquial idiom.
Be humiliated by having to admit one's own defeats or mistakes.
Well, I'm not humiliated. I'm actually, like, happy to admit that I was wrong. I like to be proven wrong, and
she was solid. She carried the show.
She was solid, and yeah.
Not to mention Rosie Perez coming through strong.
Oh yeah.
Total surprise for me. I was like, yeah, whoa, yeah. That's Rosie Perez. And
what
she
else
was, awesome.
Was she in?
All I remember her from was, isn't she in White Men Can't Jump?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I ever saw that.
Was she in White Men Can't Jump?
Rosie Perez. Yeah, would she look up her...
Rosie Perez... Rosie Perez. Movies. All right, we're running out of time here, but White Men Can't Jump. Do the Right Thing.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Yeah, that was really good. Pineapple Express.
What?
Dance with the Devil.
Huh.
Clifford the Big Red Dog. She's been in a gazillion movies.
Huh.
But anyway, she's fantastic in.
Oh yeah, really good
in this show. She has a cool role.
Yeah.
But yeah,
really good show, solid show. I was highly happy with it. Yeah,
on streaming on HBO Max. You should check it out. Okay. Well, today we talked about our Yelp Top 10 Restaurant Challenge. We baked a freaking cake.
We baked a cake.
From the book Just Desserts by Charlotte Rhee. We also talked about an excellent trade paperback, The Sheriff of Babylon by Tom King and Mitch Gerrits. And we also talked about season one of The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. It was great chatting with you. We will talk to you again soon.
Bye.